How about if we bow one more time before we open up God's Word? Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for coming down and being among us. Thank you that Jesus died for us. Thank you that your Spirit lives within us. Thank you for the eternal home that has been prepared for us. That we thank you for the promise that Jesus gave that he will return and take to himself those who belong to him so that together forever we will be there in your presence. Thank you for your word. Help us to come to it now humbly and with hunger and thirst that we might yearn to know more of who you are. We are grateful, Father, for your presence now, and we invite you to teach us, and we'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Every culture, without exception, has them. They vary from region to region, and even within regions, there are differences. Every culture has a form of greeting. Every culture has a way in which when they meet one another, there is some exchange that they offer to each other. And so it is that we come this morning to Romans chapter 16, and I invite you to turn there in your Bibles with me this morning. Today is our last Sunday that we're going to be looking at the One Another series. As we have begun back shortly after Easter, and these months come to this place where it is now the culmination of this series on how do we react, how do we respond, how do we interact with each other as part of the body of Christ. Scripture gives us some guidelines on those things, to love one another and to forgive one another and to encourage one another and to commit ourselves to one another and so on and so forth. All those admonitions that we have covered, and we come now this morning. And you might think that it's a little bit strange that we're talking about greeting one another at the end of our series on the One Another passages, but we come full circle again because this is how we are to respond to one another. If we're a family, if we are truly united in Christ, and then this is how we are to react to one another. Greetings show things like value, friendliness, acknowledgement. A person could make me whole. A hat, or he might even remove it altogether as a show of respect to men and women. It's a way of just acknowledging them. King Louis XIV always had the habit when he would greet a woman, didn't matter who it was, someone in the court, someone out on the streets, wherever he encountered a woman, he would remove his hat as a gesture of greeting to them. The Arabic custom is to greet each other with a word of peace. They will shake the individual's hand, but before they do, they will place their right hand over their heart, give a word of greeting, shake the hand, and then return their hand to their heart as a way and gesture of giving an expression during their greeting. The Chinese will take their right fist and put it in their left hand, and then they will bow slightly to the individual who they are greeting. In India, they press their palms together close to their heart and bow as a gesture of greeting to individuals. Formal greetings in Europe, you may see these on the movies, but they would take, the woman would offer an extended arm, palm down, and the man would take the hand, and he would bow ever so slightly in a gesture of greeting and kiss the back of the hand. That is formal greetings in Europe. Some countries alternate kissing on the cheek. Three times they'll do right, left, and right, or two times right and left, or once on the right cheek. Some will kiss as a greeting on the lips. In Oman, not Omen, Oman the country, men will kiss one another on the nose after they have shaken the individual's hand. Guess you had to be there to experience. I don't know, but It is a myth, I found out, that Eskimos, they aren't going to have, if they kiss, it's a myth that they will rub noses because they don't kiss lips because of the fear that they might freeze together. That's just a myth. Anybody wonder that besides me? But no, they rub noses, and it's mostly because that's the only exposed part of the face. So they'll just rub noses, and that's the Eskimo kiss. So we, in our culture, we greet with hugs and handshakes or high fives or even on occasion with a kiss. In this final message of our One Another series, we come to this passage. We aren't going to take time to read the entire passage, verses 3 through 16. Our primary focus is on verse 16, which tells us that we are to greet one another with a holy kiss. We're going to discuss what that means and what Paul intended for the believers there in Corinth and what that might mean for us as well. You know, by and large, greetings are favorable. They are expressions of affection, of friendship, of a host of other kinds of emotions that we share with those individuals, and we are going to discover in our passage what Paul has to say, because a greeting is in tones. Oh, you want the lights on? You can't see my shiny... was that what you were doing, Jerry? Just pointing up, like, turn those lights on? Yeah, if I'm not going to use the screen, I might as well be able to see what I'm supposed to be saying here. So, a greeting is a sign of a relationship. It indicates something that we have, a bond, a connection between two people. It may be something that you're just learning or greeting somebody for the first time, or it may be to a friend that you have known for a long time, but it is a way of showing a relationship. It is also a sign of fellowship or unity that exists. Let's face it, if you aren't friends with somebody, you're most likely not going to want to greet them, or if you do, it's going to be very stilted in your approach with them, but it is a sign of unity, and it is also a sign of respect to acknowledge individuals that you are greeting. For our time this morning, I want to consider two points that I think are important for us. The first is that a greeting is to be personal. And the second thing that we notice here in what Paul is describing as giving a greeting with a holy kiss is that it must be pure. So both personal and pure. So beginning with a greeting is to be personal. Paul concludes his letter to the church in Rome with some personal greetings, listing a number of people with whom he had a personal relationship with. And we find as we read through this that they weren't just individuals in the church at Rome that he may have met, indicating at one time that, hey, I picked up a church directory on my way out the last time I was there, and I'm just going to go through the list and greet all the folks that are on the list. Paul has a personal relationship with these individuals, an affection for them, and he wants to express this. It isn't just an acknowledgement of their ministry in Rome. It is something personal that he has experienced with each of these individuals. And he wants to acknowledge that in a way that identifies the role that they have had in his life. It is a carefully scripted list of fellow believers, fellow soldiers of the cross, fellow workers for Christ. Even though they all knew one another, Paul singles them out for the role that they played in his life and in the life of the church there in Rome. So as you read through this list, it isn't just a list of names, as if reading through a section of genealogies. We get rather bored with those when we come to them in Scripture. It is more than just a list identifying names and what they did, but it is a personal acknowledgement of an affection that he had for them. We are able to glean some important truths from this list of faithful servants. Paul's purpose is to express his love for them, and he wants to greet them. He wants to acknowledge them. John Phillips states that love delights to single out its objects and recall them one by one. There are times when I might be in a conversation with any one of you or even in public like this, and acknowledge my wife. And I do so in a favorable way because of that expression of love that I have for her. I think you would question whether or not I had any love for my wife if I didn't mention her at all in conversations. So Paul is doing that. He is taking this list, the people he knows, and he is wanting to share with them a love that he has because of who they are. When we look back at verses 3 through 15, through verse 16, 14 verses, Paul says that he gives a greeting 17 times. 14 verses, 17 greetings. I want you to ponder the implication of that for a moment. He is really acknowledging these believers. There is something that has attracted him to them and they to him, and he is wanting to express that for them. You know, we can conclude in these closing remarks that there are three people who are involved. Paul is the one who is writing this letter. He is the one who is expressing his love and devotion to these individuals. There is the person who has received the letter that now is responsible to take the words of Paul and share them with these individuals. And then there are the individual recipients of these greetings. As we read through these greetings, we get a sense of Paul's tone. Some he refers to as beloved or dear friends, and we see them in verses 5, 8, 9, and 12. Individuals that he acknowledges an affection for them. It isn't just a casual relationship to say that he remembered greeting them in church one day or that so-and-so owned the corner pottery shop. These are people that he had a personal relationship with. This greeting is more than just mere words. For Paul, they conveyed the unsullied truth of his love and affection for them, for their unceasing work for the cause of Christ and for the relationship they shared because they were bound together in Christ. If it were possible for Paul to be there in person, he would have told them himself. But because he is away, he needed someone to convey this truth to them, this feeling of affection. And so he is asking the reader to carry that message of affection to these recipients, to be his courier. As he thought about the church in Rome, he couldn't help but delight in remembering these individuals, the ones who he had worked side by side with, the ones whom he had served and loved. He wanted his greetings to be the aroma of a sweet perfume that hung in the air when you take the top off of the bottle. Pastor John Piper writes, "Whatever else we may learn or experience in reading these verses, let us not miss the most obvious and important experience, the preciousness of Christians in the hearts of Christians." So I want to ask you this morning, how precious is the remembrance of other Christians to you? When you are with other individuals or you're writing a letter of some kind and you speak of the church in which you attend, do you remember them with fondness to others? Are they precious to you wherever you find yourself in conversation? We get that sense from Paul's other letters as he begins by stating that he remembers them fondly. And as he remembers them, he can't help but pause and pray for them and give specific reason by which he brings them before the Lord. There is that affection in his greetings. Is the warmth of Christian love conveyed to each other's as we greet one another? As we come to verse 16, we see his greeting to each of these believers mentioned in the passage is blanketed with the desire, even the delight, in greeting one another with a holy kiss. This admonition has four other passages that we read this particular phrase, greet one another with a holy kiss. It's found in 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:26, and Peter adds his own take on this particular admonition in chapter 5 and verse 14 of his first letter, where he tells us that we are to give one another a kiss of love, an expression of affection. Paul is telling the readers here, don't just express my love to these dear people that I have known and worked with, show it. Give them a reminder of my affection, my love for them. In that era, for that culture, And it's still that way today. A kiss was a common greeting. It was something that they just did. It was a normal practice that they experienced. It wasn't just something that was done outside the church, but it became a custom that was carried on into the church. Greeting others with a kiss was not restricted to gender. In the culture of the New Testament, men greeted men with a kiss. Women greeted women with a kiss. Men and women greeted each other with a kiss. It wasn't restricted by gender. The suggestion to separate that came in the second century. And it wasn't because of anything that happened within the church. It actually was something that was complained about by the non-Christians. And we don't know the reason why they said, we don't think it's appropriate. But for some reason, the non-Christians began to say, you shouldn't do that. And so they stopped. And then in the fourth century, it was during that time, this common greeting that then was between genders was something that was separated further by clergy and laity, so that clergy and laity didn't offer this formal greeting that was extended in centuries earlier. J. Vernon McGee suggested it shouldn't be done at all because of the possible impropriety. And he may have a point, but I want to suggest that with guards and guidelines that Paul offers, a greeting with a holy kiss can be something that we express today. Now, it's not to say that after the service, we pucker up and go out and have a kissing spree. There need to be guidelines and guards set in place. And I think what Paul describes for us in this greeting are what we need to adhere to in that case. In the New Testament era, love for each other was shown openly. Greeting with a kiss was a common custom. Even in our culture, it is something that some Christians feel comfortable in expressing. I have a friend of mine that I have come to know, and on occasion when we get together, and this is a father of one of David's classmates, and when we see each other, there isn't any awkwardness in giving each other a hug. He would kiss me on the cheek, and at first that was a little bit awkward. But you know, as I understand and have come to love and appreciate this man, to know his heart, there isn't any other motive than a greeting of friendship, a greeting that says we have a bond that connects us in Christ. And so it is comfortable for me to receive that from him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let me read a couple of verses here. Verses 11 and 12. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Considering that passage, we see that one of the components of expressing greetings through a holy kiss stems from unity in the body. When unity is strong, affection for one another is strong, and it is openly expressed. If there is no unity in the body, then any kind of greeting is hypocritical. Any kind of greeting will be superficial if there is not unity in the body. And so Paul is telling us that if we or when we come together and we greet one another, that there ought to be a spirit of love exhibited by the unity that is there within us. William Newell has written, "The simplicity and warmth of early Christian devotion cannot be brushed aside as an Orientalism by the colder hearts of formal and reserved manners of the day. Behold how these Christians love one another was a common remark of that day." Is that what the world sees in us? Behold how they love one another. Paul, for him, unity was a result of love expressed in a greeting with a kiss that showed great fellowship between them. It was a common greeting. On one occasion, you'll remember that Jesus was approached by a Pharisee to have dinner in his home. He arrived, they sat down, they ate. During the course of dinner, there was a woman who came in, and it is described in Scripture that she was a woman of the street. And overwhelmed by a sense of what Jesus had done for her. An occasion that we aren't privy to know when that might have been. But she came to a place in her heart where she knew that Jesus could change her. And so it was a custom. I don't know if I necessarily support that today, but it was a custom then. Even if you were not invited, you could still go into the home and sit around where everybody else was eating and watch. How'd you like to have that for dinner guests? Look who's coming home for dinner, Mom. And that's what they did. And so this woman, just part of the gallery, came in, and she stood right behind Jesus. And as he was eating, overwhelmed by the sense of gratitude of what Christ had done in her life, she began sobbing, and her tears wet the feet of Jesus. And she just instinctively let her hair down and began to wipe them dry. And then she opened up a jar of perfume, and she anointed Jesus' feet. And she began to kiss his feet continuously, over and over and over again. And the Pharisee, observing what's happening, just was astounded that Jesus, who said that he was a scribe, or not a scribe, but a teacher, a rabbi, would allow someone like this, if he knew the kind of reputation she had, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. And Jesus began to speak, and it wasn't in condemnation for her, but for him, because he said that when I came into your house, you offered me no kiss of greeting. You offered me no water to wash my feet. And so it was that Jesus tells us that it's okay. A kiss of greeting was common. And that's why it didn't take anyone by surprise when Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane came in and kissed Jesus as the indication to the guards that this was the man to arrest. It didn't take anyone by surprise that he did that. It was common. Paul would suggest that a kiss is personal, to be done out of respect for others. If there is indeed unity, then the courteous thing to do is to greet one another out of sincerity, whether it is by a handshake, a hug, a pat on the back, or yes, even a kiss. A greeting is an expression of respect. A greeting is also an expression of comfort. When you come together, and I remember when my mom passed away, and a number of you came up to the funeral home in Maya, drove all that way, and just offered an expression of greeting to me with a hug. And comfort is so welcome in that kind of a setting. To know that you are there in support and encouragement is so uplifting, even in times of grief. But a hug of comfort doesn't happen when we're going through difficult times. It can also be a comfort in times when things are going well. And we greet each other with that expression because it is a sign of encouragement. And wow, just so grateful for the support and the love that you share with me. Whether it's with a hug or a handshake or a kiss, it affirms our fellowship in Christ. Most of you know I'm a hugger. I grew up in a family of huggers. So affection is okay. It is something that I have grown up with. And I hope that you don't mind when I greet you with a hug. But to be sincere in that. But I want to offer some suggestions. Three things when we greet each other. With however it is, a hug, a handshake, a kiss. Because we don't want it to be misused or misunderstood. The first is that we need to be sincere. We need to be sincere. Express it with no ulterior motive, no ill intent, either in gesture or in motive. It shouldn't be used to gain favor. We need to be sincere. The second is that we need to be sensitive. Not only sincere, but we need to be sensitive. Some people like their space and may be uncomfortable with a hug or any other form of physical touch for that moment. One of the churches where I ministered I was approached and reminded of the sensitivity of expressing an outward affection for people. Before a service, a gentleman came up, he approached me, and he informed me that his wife was uncomfortable receiving a hug. And he explained the reason why. And so, just kind of taken aback by that, but I understood that I wasn't sensitive enough to understand where it was welcome and where maybe some other gesture of greeting was more appropriate. And so we need to be sensitive when we are offering that expression. The third thing is that we need to make our greetings sacred. Not only do they need to be sincere and sensitive, it needs to be sacred. And that's what Paul offers for us in verse 16, that we greet one another with a kiss, a holy kiss. And so a greeting not only is personal, but a greeting is pure. A greeting is to be pure. Now, you might rightly ask how you differentiate between a regular kiss and a holy kiss. And that's a good question. Because as John Piper describes, a kiss that's mentioned here is just a kiss. It's an ordinary name or word for kiss. It doesn't have any underlying intent, to something that is there under the surface to understand that it's different. But Paul tells us how it is different, because he says it is a holy kiss. And I hopefully will be able to explain what I mean by that. John MacArthur writes, "If practiced with sensible discretion, a loving embrace and truly holy kiss that reflects genuine, heartfelt love between Christians should not be jettisoned simply because of possible misunderstanding or misuse." One author writes, "For Christians, it must be a holy kiss, for all greetings should be purely and sincerely exchanged in Christ." Again, from John Piper, "The ordinary kiss," and that's what it is, "should be made holy by the Christian church rather than being abandoned. The apostle is saying to take it from the world and sanctify it, make it holy, devote it to God, make it say something about the Holy One. Include God in your hearts and in your thoughts when you greet one another with this ordinary, culturally common greeting. Take it from the world and bring it into the Christian context and make it holy. Make it something that has meaning. Make it something that brings God into it." But I want to suggest that whatever means of greeting we employ with each other, let it be genuine. Whether it's with a handshake or with a hug or even with a kiss, make it something that is born out of the common. Because we have this relationship with Christ, the unity that we have, the bond that we share at the cross is something that brings us together that the world doesn't know anything about. And so when we greet each other, take the common and make it holy. Take the ordinary and make it extraordinary as an expression of mutual love and commitment to one another because of the cross of Christ, who has brought us together in a sacred union as part of His body, the church. John Piper suggests again that our greetings should be physical in some way because healthy families aren't afraid to show it. Healthy families are secure in their love and affection for one another. And we need to demonstrate to the world a unity that is born out of love and demonstrated in how we greet each other. So I think that what Paul is saying is that whatever is culturally appropriate, make that holy as you greet each other. Take a common greeting, like a handshake or a kiss, and make it holy. Take an ordinary gesture and make it into an expression of love that stems from the common thread that we share in Christ. The kiss of affection should not be sensual or manipulative or offensive or hypocritical or in any way pretending to express affection that is not really there. It shouldn't hide any sin in our lives. That is how we make a kiss holy. Greeting one another in a way for Christians to is a way for Christians to tell each other that there's nothing between us, that there's unity, that there's affection for each other. Pastor Gene Getz states, "Whatever we do in greeting one another, we must always reflect God's holy nature. Whatever the gesture may be, God wants His church to express love for each other in greeting, and it should never be cold." Many years ago, a prominent pastor was asked to preach at a downtown church. It was one of those cold churches where the only movement they had experienced in years was the growth of the ivy on the outside walls. No one spoke to him before the service. When he preached, the people sat there with icy stares. After the service, everyone rushed to their cars. No one stayed for fellowship. It was as if they had paid their dues, done their time, and now they were ready to hurry home. After the service, the pastor took the guests to eat at a restaurant across the street. They were met with a friendly hostess who seemed delighted that they had come her way. She seated them at a table served by a warm-hearted waitress who took personal interest in them as she served them. This pastor remarked that if the church and the restaurant had given invitations that day, he would have joined the restaurant. It is never God's will for a church to become cold. Jesus made clear that the mark of being a Christian is how we show love towards one another, and we do so in the kinds of greetings that we demonstrate to each other as we come together. What makes such a greeting possible is the foundation that we're built on. The foundation that we come together in the unity of Christ is the reason in which we can express such devotion to each other, the affection that we can share with each other. 8 times in the text, Paul refers to these friends as being in Christ or in the Lord. A number of years ago, I was invited to attend a house burning. Not a house warming, a house burning. A friend of mine was part of the volunteer fire department where he worked and where he was serving his community. And they were going to torch a house as an exercise in doing firefighting training. And so a number of family and friends were invited, and we took our lawn chairs and coolers, and we sat across the road, and we set up our little place, and we watched them burn the house, and we watched them go in and come out and do all the kinds of things that they do when they're putting out a fire. We didn't realize, you know, it was a warm day, and we didn't realize we'd worn shirts, you know, T-shirts and shorts, but we were a fair distance away, but the heat had caused, blisters to come up. Now, let's say that was a real fire. Let's say that it was something in which there was somebody actually in the house when it was burning. And we as family and friends are gathered on the outside of the house hoping in anticipation that a loved one, a friend, would be rescued. And let's say when they come out with that person that there is just an ecstatic cry of glee as we rejoice in the safety of this loved one who was rescued from the flames. And there would be hugging, and it didn't matter who you were with or by, you just hugged each other because it was a joyful time that this person who was near a death experience in that fire was rescued. And that's the kind of idea that Paul wants to say, that we are in the Lord, that we were all in the same burning fire, rescued from it. And Paul is expressing his love for them because they have been saved by the same God, loved by the same Lord, came to the same cross and experienced the rescue that comes in trusting Christ as Savior. Greet them for me, because we were all in the same proverbial boat. We were all under the same wrath of God. But by the cross and through Christ, we have been saved. And there is a relationship that is unlike any other. And we have been brought together. I love them. Greet them for me with a holy kiss. I can't be there, so I'm asking you to do it for me. We need to be social. We need to be sincere. We need to be sensitive. We need to be sacred in our greetings. We say we are friendly. But do we show it as we enter these doors? A man wearing a big brimmed hat took his seat in the front row just prior to a church service. One of the ushers noticed and came down and asked the gentleman to remove his hat, to which he said no. Flustered, he hurried back to the usher station and he talked with the head usher, who came down and asked the man kindly to remove his hat before the service began, and again, the same response. He wasn't going to remove his hat. Hearing the commotion between the ushers, the head of the Women's Bible Society came up and firmly but nicely asked if the man would kindly remove his hat. Once more, he said no. Finally, the chairman of the deacon board came forward and he asked the man, just about service time, please, sir, remove your hat. And he said, no. Service began, and after the service was over, when the service started, he stood with everybody else and he removed his hat. And when the service was over, he put his hat back on and he proceeded to walk out. He was met by the individuals who had approached him prior to the service, asking him why he was so insistent on leaving his hat on, and to which he said, you know, I have been coming to this church for 2 years, and I have not met anyone until today. I met 4 people. I want to suggest to you this morning that as we greet one another before services, that we need to welcome each other, that it might be sincere, that it might be something that is sacred, because we come together for a common purpose, don't we? To worship the Lord together. We need to show that we have passed from death into life because we love the brothers. We have all been rescued from the burning building by Christ through faith in His shed blood. For that, there ought to be a great sense of wonder and relief as we express our gratitude in greeting one another with a holy kiss, however that may look like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the common thread that runs through us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that we are united at the cross. And as we come together, as we see each other out in the street, in a store, in each other's homes, may there be greetings by which we are expressing our affection, our love for one another, the unity that we have, that we might be sensitive as we come together, as we approach each other, but also, Father, that our greetings would be sacred, that they would be pure, that they would be a holy expression of love for each other. Help the world out there to see that we are different by the way in which we greet one another. And through our expressions of love for each other, may those expressions be extended to them to invite them to want to know more about how they can enjoy and be part of such a close-knit family. And we thank You that it was all made possible because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll give You thanks, for it's in His name that we pray, and it's for Your glory. Amen.